So we're here at the end of Moses' life, the end of the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses has been warning, prophesying about the future of Israel as they go into the promised land under Joshua. And here in the beginning of chapter 31, we're just going to look at the beginning tonight. Just before he charges Joshua, he reminds the people that when they go in, they need to go in strong. Amen? Go in with courage. Go in with no fear. Because remember, 40 years earlier, what happened? They wouldn't go in because they were afraid and they had to get punished for it. Sent to wander in the desert for 40 years and all die if they were adults. So they're about to go in again 40 years later. The worst thing they could ever do is be afraid. So here in verse 1, Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. And he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Sihon and unto Og, king of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, and he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So our title tonight is, He Will Not Fail Thee. Let's pray. How we love you, Lord. How we praise you for this privilege. And pray now that you would speak to each of our hearts, Lord, even to those online, that the Holy Spirit would take the powerful word of God. Remind us tonight that you are with us always, that we do not need to fear the devil or the world, and that we can go forward with you and accomplish what you call us to do. Have your will in our hearts. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody remember there in verse 3 why he wasn't allowed to go in? He doesn't mention it here. But he says, the Lord thy God. It is verse 3. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations. Oh, there it is, verse 2. I can no more come out and go in. Oh, why am I not finding it? Ah. Thou shalt possess them. Anyway, the God said, you can't go, Moses. Is it verse 2? Oh, yes, the Lord said, thou shalt not go. There it is. Can you tell I'm tired too? Thou shalt not go. Why? Why did God say, Moses, you're not allowed to go? Anybody remember? I mean, he was the meekest man of the earth. Howard?
When he was told to go and get the water out of the stone again, he struck the rock instead of just speaking to
it. Exactly. The second time that the people complained about no water, the first time he smote the rock once, out came water. You know, again, like Brother Frazier said, we picture it as this trickle, but no, think more Hamarana spring, because you've got a couple million people that need to drink it, and all the cattle. That's a lot of water came out of that rock. The second time they complained, God said, now just speak to the rock. But by then Moses was so angry with the people, he lost his temper and he smote it twice. And said, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Well, Moses didn't have the power to fetch water out of a rock, did he? And he definitely should not have smitten the rock twice, because that rock that followed them, we're told in 1 Corinthians, was Christ. So it was picturing Christ, who is the one that gives us the water of life. He only has to be smitten once, amen? Once for all, we're told in Hebrews 10. That's why he only had to speak to it the second time, because it had already been smitten. So when he smote it a second time, he destroyed that illustration of Jesus as the rock that brings the water of life. So God had to punish him for it. How sad. But we're going to focus tonight on verse 6. Moses' charge to God's people as they're about to go into the promised land. And the first thing he says is be strong and of a good courage. Again, he's reflecting back to 40 years earlier when they didn't have courage. They had fear and they would not go in. Now, it's interesting that in Joshua chapter 1, if you want to turn over there, just over to the right a tiny bit, God charges Joshua directly. Moses isn't charging Joshua here. God is speaking directly to Joshua here in Joshua chapter 1. And in verse 9, which I know some of you probably have it as a memory verse, look what he says. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Exact same phrase. Be strong and of a good courage. So he says to the new leader, the one that's going to lead them into the promised land, be strong and of a good courage. Courage. God wants us to have courage. Amen? To do what he's called us to do. The Bible says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Bible says, Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? We as God's children are not to be afraid, we're to have courage. And of course, 1 John 4:4, most of you know it, but let's turn there. 1 John 4:4, how can we have courage? This is why. Because we have Jesus. Amen? The world doesn't have Jesus, but we have Jesus. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is... Oh, no, that's chapter 5, verse 4. At the end of verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's that? The devil. He's saying, Jesus is greater than the devil. Well, of course he is. He created the devil. The devil was just a created being. Jesus is God and always has been. And he lives in us. So be strong and of a good courage. Then the very well-known phrase here in Deuteronomy 31:6, fear not. Now, if you look it up, if you do a search, which is wonderful now that we have computers, I can still remember the days when you had to use a Strong's Concordance and spend hours flipping through the pages. Now you just type on the computer or even on your phone and you get your answer in a few seconds. But if you search for fear not or fear ye not or be not afraid or be not dismayed, it's over 110 times in the Bible, that phrase. God saying always to his people, never says it to the world. He only says it to his people, either Israel or Christians, don't be afraid. Fear not. Why would God emphasize such a phrase so much? Because to fear means we're not trusting. That the two cannot cohabitate. That's what it means. Let's see this. Look at Psalms 56:11. That is why God tells us over and over and told them over and over, fear not. Because if you're fearing, you're not trusting. And are we told to trust God? All the time. God wants us to trust him because he's God. He's all powerful. He can do anything. And he's on our side. Psalm 57:11. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? Notice, he's telling us in this verse that trust and fear are mutually exclusive. He says it again in Psalm 112, verse 7, if you want to turn over there. Psalm 112, verse 7, and I'm going to show you, this is why God over and over says, fear not, don't be afraid, be not dismayed. Why? Because if you're afraid, you're not trusting. Psalm 112, verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Proverbs 29:25. Let's look at that one. Proverbs 29:25. The Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. All three of these verses show that fear and trust are opposites. Amen? And then Isaiah 12:2, one more. Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. So notice he says, I will trust and not be afraid. God is saying to Israel, yes, there's still the walled cities. The giants are still there. They haven't left. It's 40 years later, but there's still walled cities. There's still big armies, still giants. Don't be afraid. Be strong and of a good courage. Don't fear. Amen. He says to us, we've got battles to fight too, till Jesus comes. Be of good courage. Don't fear. Do not be. What's the number one reason why Christians don't witness? It's fear. We all know this to be true, don't we? It's the number one reason why Christians don't witness. Is they're afraid. Well, if we're afraid, then we're not trusting, right? Because if we're trusting, who are we trusting? We're trusting the all-powerful God of the universe. Well, if we're trusting Him, how can we be afraid? We can't. All right, back to our passage. He will not, it says, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. So another reason why we're not to fear is because we have the presence of God. Now, Israel's presence was different than ours, but God promised, you're going into the promised land. I'm going to travel with you. I'm going to help you. They carried the tabernacle, which we learned a lot about at camp this week. They took that with them into the promised land. And God said, I'm going to dwell there between the cherubims above the mercy seat. I will be with you. I'll go with you. You know, Jesus, when he gave us the Great Commission, what does he say? Go and teach all nations and baptize them. There in Matthew 28, go, go, go. But then he says, and lo, I'm with you always. So he tells us to go, and then he says, I'll go with you. I'm not saying go and I'll see you on the other side. I'm saying go and I'm going to go with you. Totally different, isn't it? I'm going to travel with you. Jesus says that over and over again in the scriptures, doesn't he? Most of us know Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So he's saying to Israel, I'm going with you. This is the land that I promised to your father centuries ago, Abraham. You're finally getting to go in. I'm going to go with you. Well, hopefully most Christians are willing to cross the Jordan River and go into the victorious Christian life. God says, if you'll do that, if you'll take that step of faith, I'll go with you. Don't be afraid of the devil. Don't be afraid of the world. Be strong and of good courage, and I'll go with you. But then our title tonight, verse 6, Deuteronomy 31, He will not fail thee. He will not fail thee. If you think about it, that is another reason why God doesn't want us to fear. Because if we fear, aren't we saying that God will fail us? Aren't we saying that God can't protect us? He's already told us He will protect us. Amen. He's already told us that no matter what we go through, He's there. I'll go with you. I will never leave you. I'm with you even at the end of the world. Amen. So when we're afraid, what are we saying? We're saying, well, I'm not so sure that God can protect me. I'm not so sure that God can help me through this. Well, that's almost blasphemous, isn't it? So that explains why he keeps telling us to not fear. So if we can just learn, like God commanded Israel, to don't be afraid, but be of good courage and know that God's with us and will never fail us, we can do anything. We can do absolutely anything. I'm going to give you some scriptures to show you this. Look at Psalm 125, verse 1. If we will believe that God will not fail us, we can do anything. anything that God wants us to do. Don't misunderstand me. Psalm 125:1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Isn't that a blessing? Cannot be removed. Well, we know Mount Zion cannot be removed because that's a picture of God's dwelling place in heaven. And it's a picture of Jerusalem, which God says will always be. No matter what man tries, there's always going to be a Jerusalem. And they that trust in the Lord will be as Mount Zion. Oh, by the way, when the earthly Jerusalem gets burnt up, what does God call the city that comes down out of heaven? The new Jerusalem. It'll never go away. Anyway, you'll be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. But what is the condition? You got to trust. Let's look at another one, Proverbs 16:20. Proverbs 16:20. And I want us to get a hold of this truth tonight. If nothing else, God will not fail us. He absolutely will not fail us. We fail Him every day. But He will never fail us. Proverbs 16:20. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The world is searching for happiness. Well, God gave us one of the secrets. Trust God. Amen. Proverbs 29:25, we looked at it, but let's look at it from a different light. Because I didn't emphasize this last word. The Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be, what? Safe. We hear so much about safety these days. We live in a troubled world. We want to feel safe. God says, trust in the Lord, and I'll keep you safe. Amen? Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. God says, if you will trust me, I will never let you down. I will not fail you. Proverbs 30:5, we'll look at a couple more. I just want us to see all these amazing, beautiful benefits of just simply trusting God. Proverbs 30:5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. A shield. Well, what's the purpose of a shield but to protect? Amen? And then Isaiah 26:4, one of my favorites. Isaiah 26:4, most of you know verse 3. We have verse 3 on our wall at home. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. But verse 4, trust ye in the Lord Jehovah forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Amen. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now this is just a sampling of what God promises to those who will believe that He will not fail us, to those who will trust Him. In chapter 32, he's going to sing a big, long song. There's going to be a lot of spiritual lessons in that song. And then he's going to die. God's going to take him to heaven. But just before all of that, he says, please don't fear. Please be strong and of a good courage. And please know that God will not fail you. He is going to go with you. Well, you and I, which they didn't have, they had Him just dwelling with them. We have Him dwelling in us. They didn't have that. We do. And He calls it the earnest, amen, of our inheritance. That's the Holy Spirit, right? Ephesians 1. We'll look at it, Ephesians 1, quickly. When the Holy Spirit moved in, He became the down payment or the earnest. An earnest is a promise. And so that's one of the reasons why we know that we can't lose our salvation, because the Holy Spirit will never leave us. He's going to stay with us, Ephesians 4:30, until the day of redemption. But He's there also not only to guide us and teach us and convict us and strengthen us and help us pray and so forth, but He's also there as a promise. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 12. that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom he also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. So that earnest, in the States, the word earnest means like a down payment. Here, if you make a down payment on a house, I think you just call it a down payment, deposit, right? Well, in America, they call earnest money. Same thing. It's saying, I promise to buy this house. I promise it so strongly that I'm willing to give you $50,000 that I might lose if I back out. So I'm backing up my promise with this money, essentially. God says, I'm backing up my promise with my presence. Amen? He's the earnest of our inheritance. We don't have our inheritance yet. We don't have the streets of gold or our mansions yet. But God gave us an earnest. He said, it's coming. Here's the earnest. Here's the promise. The Holy Spirit. So what is there to be afraid of? If the Creator of the universe indwells us, if the Creator of the universe promises to be with us no matter what, and if the Creator of the universe will never fail us, if we'll trust Him, we get all these blessings, we'll be happy and safe, and He'll be a shield, and we'll have strength, and so forth, then what is there to be afraid of? Nothing. David said, what can man do unto me? What's the worst that man can do unto us but kill us and send us to heaven earlier? It's the worst they can do. We're going to heaven either way. So he says to them, God will not fail you. Amen? And he will not fail us either. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this amazing encouragement to the nation of Israel just before they went into the promised land. I pray, Lord, that we would draw from this our own spiritual application, that you have indwelt us as your children and that you have promised to be with us no matter what, to protect us. Lord, that you will go with us, you'll never fail us, and therefore I pray that we would learn not to fear. And if a fear tries to creep up, that we would stop and trust. Trust Jehovah, who gives us that everlasting strength. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We